This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Crowdfunding. The word itself wasn't even known less than a decade ago, but crowdfunding's become a powerful way to raise money. Equity Net reports more than $20 billion in crowdfunding transactions will happen around the world this year. That's a 100% increase from last year. And the number of crowdfunding platforms and websites continues to grow. Indiegogo, GoFundMe, Kickstarter, Pledgy, Fundageek. You get the idea. But is it all too much? Michigan Radio social media producer Kimberly Springer is with us again. Hello, Kimberly.
Hi, Cindy.
How did crowdfunding initially get off the ground? Was it for startups? Was it for charities?
I think we first need to make a distinction between crowdfunding in real life and crowdfunding online.
Good point.
The pancake breakfast, the spaghetti dinner, all of these different kinds of benefits that we have always had to help one another out through institutions. So I think this form of crowdfunding online just makes it very visible to us that it's happening.
And it comes unbidden. I may choose to go to the KFC pancake breakfast or the church fish fry. I choose that. You know, go on Facebook and there it is as you scroll through. So it kind of comes unbidden in a way when it's online.
Well, sometimes it comes from your friends, right? I mean, it
True.
Comes from people you know who are
Yep.
posting things, causes they're concerned about to your Facebook page. So, I mean, I think it did come from this idea of startups and people being able to invest in companies. And we've somehow managed to translate that into investing in one another. And in a lot of ways where institutions have failed us.
And so crowdfunding certainly gives individuals and charities and small groups a good and direct and free way to appeal to prospective donors. But then you wonder, is there a risk of crowdfunding fatigue?
Or compassion fatigue or any of these other ways that we might get tired of being asked?
All right. Just looking at some recent requests that I saw on Facebook, there is a crowdfunding campaign to save the 1910 vintage streetlights in Detroit's Indian Village neighborhood. There is an active campaign to help a couple of Detroit area techno musicians raise $4,000 to replace all the laptops and production gear that were stolen from their car. They can't make their music till they get the gear back. A campaign to move a Motown mural out of Northland Mall before it shuts down. An artist collective trying to buy a used bus. A musician trying to finish an album. And not saying that these are not all worthy causes, but we do seem to face that handout asking for money almost every time we go on Facebook.
And I think that's a key word there, is worthy. And does it somehow exhaust us psychically trying to figure out who or what is worthy of our money? So it's all individualized, I think, in terms of the hierarchy that we're creating in our heads of what's worthy.
Well, then I have to talk about Potato Salad Guy. And this is the guy that actually raised over $55,000 on Kickstarter from over 6,900 backers to make potato salad. Does something like that hurt the campaigns that are out there right now to raise money for funeral costs, to help a young husband recovering from traumatic brain injury from a motorcycle accident, or to help a family after a house fire? Is there room for Potato Salad Guy in this?
Well, I think didn't Potato Salad Guy end up giving most of the money to charity? So I think, you know, the person collecting has to have some sort of consciousness about what they're doing, because these different platforms are not necessarily going to do that for you. So, for example, GoFundMe, they took down a woman's campaign where she was trying to raise money to have an abortion. But yet they have other sorts of campaigns that are of dubious distinction, you know, to fund people who have criminal cases coming up. So, I mean, I think it's a wild and woolly place right now with the platforms themselves, because there's nothing like Charity Navigator for these crowdfunding platforms.
And
if you
that?
Go to Charity Navigator, it's a website where you can look and see, you can look up different organizations and figure out how much money they pay for overhead and how much money actually goes to the causes. And there's nothing like that for Kickstarter. There's no sort of vetting, really.
There isn't vetting. So where do you see this going?
I think people will always want to give, and I think it will probably just continue to splinter in the ways that it has. I mean, there are charities, there are people have health funds. There are projects for making films. So I think it will just continue along those lines of specialization. And it's going to be up to us to be just really conscious about, you know, what makes us feel good in our giving and who do we want to help?
Yeah. And perhaps thinking long and hard about where you want to put your request and whether the request is worthy. And if you – all you have to go to do is find the Tumblr page of all the requests that got zero to get an idea of kind of maybe what the public isn't buying.
Right.
Interesting. Kimberly Springer is Michigan Radio's social media producer and our guide to all things online. Thanks, Kimberly.
You're welcome.